The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Oh, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Our guest this week is second-generation driver Alan Crimes, last Friday night's winner at the Williams Grove Speedway. We'll talk with Alan next here on the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA, and Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them.
With 30 years experience, Kinzer Air Filters is a trusted name in the racing industry. Their 360-degree dome positive charge air filter is the cleanest air filter on the market. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer Air Filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. It's easy to use and cleans with soap and water. To learn more, call Roger Kinzer at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103, or visit KinzerDirect.com. Kinzer Air Filters, made in the USA.
Hi, this is Greg Hodnett. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. We're joined now by second-generation driver and last Friday night's winner at the Williams Grove Speedway out of Denver, Pennsylvania. We welcome in Alan Crimes. Alan, a pleasure to talk with you, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show.
Thanks. Appreciate being on.
Sure thing. Last year, when you won the Mitch Smith Memorial at the Williams Grove Speedway, a very prestigious win, you were talking about what it felt like to be standing in victory lane where so many drivers had stood before. Would you classify yourself as a student of the game that has a respect for the historical aspect of sprint car racing?
Yeah, I definitely would. I remember growing up, we used to get Open Wheel magazine in the week, in the mail every week, and once a month or whatever it came out. And I used to take them along to school, and I'd read them at school during during breaks and stuff like that. There weren't many people in my school that knew what sprint cars were, but I tried to fill them in a little bit. But I definitely followed the history of the sport, and of course, Williams Grove is such a historic track. Like you said, put my name in the winner's circle there, and I have my name on the list of all the guys that have won there in the past. It's a pretty big honor.
Well, this, of course, is a family-run team. Your dad was a driver. What do you remember about the days of dad racing?
Not a whole lot, unfortunately. I really don't remember going to the races at all. Mostly ran in Lincoln back in late 70s, early 80s, and I was born in 79, so I was pretty young when he ran back then. So most of the time when he ran sprint cars, I don't remember a lot of it, but he ended up racing micros a little bit, kind of when I was around 14 or 15, so I got to go along to that and worked on the car, and then when I turned 16, I started racing. And my first year in micros, I actually got to race with him, which was pretty neat. And he quit then after that year, and so we could concentrate more on my deal. But I wish I could have remembered a little bit more to race sprint cars, but it's just a little too young.
Well, Alan, that's an interesting age to get started at in racing, 16, when you take a look at today's age and kids are, 3 years old and they're trying to get them into a race car. Was there talk with Dad before 16? Did you ever sit down and talk with him about wanting to be a race car driver, or did Dad want to wait until you were just old enough to really understand how to work on the car before he basically handed it over to you?
No, there really wasn't any talk of racing before I turned 16. I never really thought about running go karts or quarter midgets and all the stuff that they run now. We actually have this micro sprint track, the Clyde Martin Memorial Speedway, is real close to our house here, and we knew some guys that raced up there, so we used to go up and watch every Saturday, and that's kind of how I got in my head that hey, I'd like to try this sometime, but. At the time there, I don't know if it's still this way, you had to be 16 to drive one, so we waited, and then once I turned 16, I started out there.
Yeah, I believe that there is that mandatory age that at least you have to have your driver's license before you can get on to I know the Bay Tracks, there's a young kid here in the Siouxland Grove area that had to wait a year before he could race because he did not have his driver's license. But never stopped kids from sneaking in before. that's for sure. What do you remember about your early days of did you guys go to the Grove and watch the races? And if you did back in the day, did you have any favorites?
Me and my dad used to go mostly to Williams Grove and mostly to the bigger races, the Outlaw races and All-Stars and some of the bigger local shows. We made it to Lincoln a few times. I remember going up there and seeing the Outlaws run, and we used to go down when they ran at Grandview for the Thunder and the Hill shows and stuff like that. But, guys that I used to watch back then, I was a big Fred Raymer fan, and I remember watching Jeff Shepard when he drove the 4J car. I was a big fan of his back then. And I think when I was really young, I was a big fan of Stevie Smith.
That's some pretty good company right there. We're talking with second-generation driver Alan Crimes here, who just picked up another win, his first of the season. Now, you only had two wins last year, so you're halfway there to meeting your goals. 14th in the points last year in Lincoln, but although we're seven races into this season, you are third in the points, a lot of top fives. What is the difference between how things are going for you in 2012 compared to how they were in 2011, just specifically at Lincoln?
Pretty much we've been more consistent this year. Last year wasn't one of our better years. We struggled a little bit, but this year here so far we've been real consistent at Lincoln, minus we had 1 week there we tried something, didn't work. But other than that, we've been pretty much in the top five every week there, and hopefully we can get going a little bit better. I still think our cars have been a little off, but we've still been lucky enough to have some good finishes.
It was interesting when you were talking in Victory Lane last Friday night at Williams Grove Speedway, you said you probably had a fifth or sixth place car, and here you are just pulling away and winning, and the battles behind you were pretty interesting. It's one of those ones where I don't think people realize, you know, none of these open-wheel cars have mirrors, so you can't see what was going on behind you, but it was going to get pretty interesting for second place. But so how do you go out thinking you only have a fifth or sixth place car, and all of a sudden you're going, geez, hey, look at this. We're in the lead. We're on the way to winning Williams Grove. How does the mindset of a driver work that way to go, oh, man, the car's a little off, and then all of a sudden you're leading the race and on your way to a win?
Yeah, it was pretty unusual, actually. We started out there, and actually got a pretty decent start, passed a couple guys in the first corner, and but right away, I knew the car wasn't as good as I liked it to have been, especially down the first and second turn. We were pretty good in three and four, but one and two, we just weren't as good as we needed to be. And we were just kind of running around there in fourth, and then Doug Esch passed us, and I think the next lap, Monteith passed us, and they're two pretty good cars. So usually when guys like that pass you, it's hard to get them back, and I thought we might be in trouble. But along with the race went on, and I started moving the wing back more and more, and the more I moved it back, the better the car got. We just started to get faster and faster, and somehow were able to run those guys down and get back by them. And then we had Pittman leading, and he's another, you know, he's one of the best in the country. And somehow were able to run him down and get by him, and I guess pulled away from him.
And pulled away, you definitely did indeed. But then late in the race, caution comes out, red flag comes out. What were you thinking there late in the race when you're having to sit? You got your car just where you want it, but now late race cautions are making you sit there on the front stretch for a little bit for the accident scene that they had on a restart late in the race in turn one.
Yeah, I wasn't exactly sure what to do under the red. My guys came out, and I told them, I think the car's pretty good, and I think it's going to be tough for those guys to pass us, but we could have changed things if we needed to. But I told them just to leave it alone. It was good enough, I thought, to win, and I would have hated to change something and then screwed it up and got passed and given away because of that. But, luckily, I guess on the restarts there, we pulled away from them and held on.
And before you got into running the 410s back in 2006, you spent a couple of years running the 358s, and recently we've seen a bit of a decline in the numbers of 358s at the racetracks here in central Pennsylvania. Of course, they are very unique that this is the only part of the country where they run. anything you can offer as to what your thoughts are on why we're seeing sort of a disappearance of the 358 sprint cars this season?
Yeah, the big thing I can think of is they opened the motor rule up, I don't know how many years it's been, maybe two or three years ago. And from some of the guys that I talked to, the motor prices just kind of skyrocketed after that. And unfortunately, the purse for those guys didn't go up at all. And it's kind of tough to run, you know. Those guys are paying, you know, almost as much as a 410 motor now from what I hear. And, you know, they're already making $800 to $1,000 to win, so it's kind of tough to keep going at that deal.
It is a bit of a losing proposition, isn't this business?
Yeah, it's tough to get anywhere in racing, that's for sure. But it's really tough when, you know, you're spending $30,000 on a motor and you're racing for $800 to win. That gets pretty hard on you.
That's true. Your thoughts on what Williams Group is doing, where they have not only upped the purse, but now they have this dice roll, and you have a chance to. You ended up winning a Goodyear tire, but you had a chance to win $2,000 extra had the dice rolled your way. What are your thoughts on what the folks, Kathy Hughes, and the rest of the gang at Williams Grove Speedway are doing for the 410 sprint car teams?
Yeah, that's pretty neat deal they got going on there. You know, anytime you can get extra money is definitely a plus. And I want to thank them for putting that money on. It's something new that I don't think I've seen before. And like you said, we ended up actually getting two tires out of the deal, which, you know, everything helps. And hopefully we can win up there again this year and maybe get a shot at that $2,000 extra again.
Yeah, that would be pretty neat. Your thoughts, Alan, as we're talking with Alan Crime, second-generation driver out of Denver, picked up the win last week at Williams Grove Speedway. Your thoughts now, 3 years into the Goodyear tire deal here in central Pennsylvania. Have you been able to adapt more to them, or are they still a tire that has a different characteristic throughout the race than what you guys were accustomed to when you were running the Hoosier tires there for quite some time?
Actually, I was one of the guys when we switched over to the Goodyears. I couldn't tell a big difference between them and the Hoosier. We didn't have to change our program around hardly at all. And, you know, the same thing we ran Hoosiers, we pretty much stuck to with the Goodyears, and it worked. Works pretty good. I don't know if, you know, I'm still not a big fan of the Goodyears. They're expensive, and we have had some trouble this year with left rear tires shrinking during the feature. I mean, we'll go out with 9 inches of stagger and come in with 11. And, stuff like that you don't like to see, but in terms of the difference in how the car acted or felt, I couldn't tell a big difference between the Hoosier and the Goodyear.
So you went out with 9 inches of stagger and you come back in with 11.
Yeah, it's happened a couple times this year. We've gone out for the feature and come in, and the guys measured, and we've gained 1.5 to 2 inches of stagger, and we're like, well, you know, what are you supposed to do?
Now, for the fans who may be new to our sport, can you explain to them why that might happen?
I really don't know. I don't know if it's from the left rear building a lot of heat in it, and when they cool back down, they shrink, or, you know, we kind of can't figure it out. I've heard a couple other guys that have had trouble with the same thing, but we're kind of scratching our heads as to what's making them shrink like that, but. It's kind of strange, too, because it doesn't do it every time. And like I said, one time it'll do it 1 inch. Next time it'll be 2 inches. So it's kind of hard to base your setup on stagger-wise what you want to run out there, because, you know, you go out with whatever, whatever 9, 10 inches, and you can come in and it can be 9, 10, 11, 12. It's kind of frustrating, but something we got to deal with.
Now, is this the same compound on the left rear that this has been happening with, or is it just an every now and then occurrence?
Yeah, we always run the same compound on our left rear, more or less. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's just it's been happening a lot, but like I said, sometimes, you know, once in a while it doesn't happen at all, so it's kind of hard to plan for.
Do you recall this ever happening with the Hoosier tires?
No, I don't. I don't remember them ever shrinking. Actually, I think. Anything they used to grow a little bit, but no, I don't remember I'm ever growing an inch or two. I mean, that's a pretty big difference, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, and when you're trying to turn the car for our fans, maybe new to the sport, staggers the difference in circumference. That Wasquey Wabbit is back again, Alan. Happened to me the other day doing an interview. Jeez. Let me try this one more time, folks. The difference is the circumference between the right rear tire and the left rear tire. That's what I was trying to say. See, even after being in the radio industry for 23 years, that Wasquey Wabbit can still find its way into the broadcast here. Yeah, that has to be a very unique thing then when you're sitting there and now I'm just going to throw a number out just for argument's sakes, but if you're trying to achieve 14 inches of stagger and then you come back in and you end up with 16 inches of stagger, it's like you said, you're scratching your head because stagger, of course, also helps the car turn. So it's that's an interesting thing that we may have to look into. We had Justin Fantasio from Goodyear on here just a couple weeks ago here on the Sprint Car Show, and I know they are enjoying their time here in Central Pennsylvania. They're hoping to come back. I know Fred Raymer doesn't want to hear that, but but that's the first time this year that I have heard that there is a problem with the Goodyear tire actually shrinking and changing the stagger. But yet you guys have had a good number of top 10s this year, 9 top 10s on the overall season. So I guess it hasn't really affected you that much. But I guess in the long run, does it put a doubt in the back of your mind that if you have X number of stagger that you're going to use on a regular basis in the future at the Grove and at Lincoln, does it start putting a doubt in the back of the mind as to whether or not that's the proper number to go with, or do you have to change things up?
Yeah, it definitely does. We've actually been planning. We'll start the feature on less stagger than what we'd like to, figuring on the tire shrinking and it's going to give us the number that we want at the end of the race. But then if you go out and somehow you get one that doesn't shrink, then that can also hurt you. But we've been planning around that they're going to shrink and. It's not something you like to do, but, it is what it is.
Well, we're talking with Alan Crimes, who picked up the win last Friday night at the Williams Grove Speedway, and he is currently third in the points at Lincoln Speedway. Lincoln and Williams Grove, Alan, is what the schedule is out on your website. Any other dates that you're looking at outside of those two tracks where fans might want to come and take a race in with you?
We'll probably try to run most of the Keystone Cup races and most of Speed Week. And I think the Outlaws are at Hagerstown this year. We're definitely going to go down and run that. We run pretty good there over the last couple of years and actually picked up a win there for a Speed Week race a couple of years ago. So that's definitely one I'm looking forward to on the schedule.
And as far as Lincoln goes, we mentioned before, you're third in the points. Your thoughts as to what you guys have to do to maintain that position or move up against the guys like Corey Haas and Danny Dietrich, who are second and first, respectively, coming up here into the eighth race of the season this year, if Mother Nature cooperates over the weekend?
Yeah, we just got to get a little better. Like you said, Danny's been real fast. He was fast all last year. He's going to be tough to catch. And Corey's really stepped up his program this year. He's been real fast, real consistent. And, of course, Monteith, can't ever count him out. We just need to get a little bit of better luck, I think. We ended up, I think we had a car to win this past Saturday's race there, and I got caught up in somebody else's accident early on in the race, kind of took us out. So that hurt the point thing. But other than that, we've been pretty good there. I'd like to get a little bit better, but we'll see what happens as the year goes on.
Well, folks, he's a quiet guy, but he's definitely hard on the loud pedal when it comes down to it. Alan Crimes, second-generation driver, and his dad, Larry, is his crew chief in the family-owned car out of Denver. Alan, we want to thank you very much for taking time out today to join us here on the Sprint Car Show. And, folks, you can learn more about Alan by visiting their website, ak87racing.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at ak87hegone. That's ak87 H-E-G-O-N-E, and that is their Twitter account. Alan, as always, thanks again. Appreciate the time, and best of luck for the rest of the 2012 season here in Central Pennsylvania.
All right. Appreciate having me on, and it's good talking to you guys.
Sure thing. Alan Crimes joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We'll take a break and be back with more of our show right after this.
At Rod End Supply, they have the unique opportunity to be involved with all sorts of auto racing and performance-related industries, including farming equipment. Whether you're running a go-kart, micro sprint, midget, modified, late model, sprint car, or a tractor, Rod End Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performing at your maximum potential. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively with prompt and courteous service. Their promise is to continue to provide superior service with superior products that will keep you in front of your field. To learn more, log on to rodendsupply.com or call Bob Douglas and his staff at 1-800-284-2902. That's 1-800-284-2902. Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show, everybody. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Just type in the Sprint Car Show in your search and be sure to like us. Special thanks to our guest, Alan Crimes, for joining us here this week on the Sprint Car Show. Some news and notes for you. Opening weekend winners in Indiana included Casey Schumann at Bloomington and Scotty Weir. Stop and steer Scotty Weir at Gas City. The World of Outlaws rained out last week. They'll be at the Tri-State Speedway in Hobstad, Indiana on Saturday night, and they'll be at the Missouri State Fairground on Friday evening. Sammy Swindell, the points leader, over Joey Saldana. In central Pennsylvania, Greg Hodnett picked up his fifth win in his last seven starts, winning at Susquehanna Speedway on Sunday. He's also the points leader at Port Royal Speedway. And Danny Dietrich getting a win on Saturday night at Lincoln Speedway. He is the points leader there, stretching it out to almost 150-point lead over Corey Haas. And Fred Raymer, the points leader at Williams Grove Speedway. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Special thanks to our great sponsors, Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them. And Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.